second share on the four, Al-Biyasadat, the four foundations. So we didn't yet really finish about Mayim, about water. Why? It says, Pachas Kamayim. It says by Reuven that he was Pachas Kamayim. He was like quick, like water. Water represents like emotions, you know, flowing of water. And not only, water is not something that clearly can be controlled. Water doesn't, you know, you can't really control water. I mean, you can put it to boundaries, right? But even within those boundaries, like say in the sea has boundaries, but you have waves, right? And like we were learning with in the Bi'ah Groh, so the waves want to go over, right? Feelings can take you over your sechel, can take you over the boundaries of your thinking. Yeah? Like the waves can take you over the boundaries of the shore, the high waves, right? So Mayim represents this concept of emotions. It's a place for the emotions. Your emotions, like we said, can be towards connecting with your creator, or your emotions can be directed towards connecting with the physical, whatever the physical is, right? Now, emotions don't have to be physical, right? But the place where a person lives, he lives with those emotions. That's where you're living. You're living in the place of your emotions. Now, it's associated with Ruach, right? In terms of, we're speaking not Ruach, there's two things. There's Ruach, which represents the foundation of Ruach, and there's Ruach, which represents the Neshama, the aspect of the Neshama. So there's Nefesh, all what we're speaking here is represented in Nefesh. But there's the concept of Ruach in the Neshama, in terms of your Neshama, is where is the place of your emotions. In terms of the Arba Yesodas, the place for emotions is more Mayim. Ruach, which you haven't yet spoke about, Ruach represents wind. Wind also doesn't have boundaries, right? Wind just flows, no boundaries at all. You can't bound wind. You can't put wind in a box. You can't bound it. If you put wind in a box, no longer wind, right? So Ruach represents, says, this is Reb Chaim Vital, says, the psolet of Ruach, the bad of Ruach is dibura, bad speech, and leitzanus, like ridiculing things, or dvarim betelim. It's associated with dibu. Ruach is associated with dibu, like it says in the pasuk, that when a Kodesh Baruch Hu put nishmas chaim, the spirit of life, into a person, says Onkelos says ruach malala, the spirit or the wind of speech. So ruach is associated with speech. Speech, right? Just as when you say something, you have no control over it. It goes out and there, whoever hears it. You have no control. Once it's spoken, there's no control. Yeah? So Ruach is without boundaries. And your speech doesn't have a bound to it. You only give boundaries to speech before you say it. Once it's spoken, it has no boundaries. And according to this, what does Ruach represent? Ruach represents a spirit, right? You say it in English like that. You say someone has a free spirit. Free spirit means independent, right? Ruach is something which doesn't have boundaries. It's independent. It's independent. You know, it doesn't. No one can bound it. An independent person, someone who's independent, you know, he does his own thing. Does his own thing. So Ruach represents independence. It also represents, this is William Glaser, he says it also represents fun.
Fun.
Because fun means going out of self. When a person goes out of himself, right, he has
What's
fun.
What's the word in Hebrew for fun?
Okay. The loshen for fun in Hebrew, if we're going to explain it, would be like Terah Shashua for a person. When you're learning something, like you see kids play Legos or they play different games, right? Even when a kid plays games, or, you know, different games, you know, they play, they make camps or whatever, the kid's learning. Children learn through having fun, right? So that sort of fun does exist in Lashon HaKodesh. It's called Terah Shashua. The Terah for you is the place where, you know, you're having fun, you're enjoying it, but you're learning. Learning has to be a process of enjoyment, of having fun. You understand? So and that's why it's associated with Dibu. Ruach is associated with Dibu. Because in a person's Dibu, in learning Torah, that's the way it connects to fun. Because the opposite of Dibu Ra is Torah. And Torah gives a person Chirus, freedom. Freedom is independence. When a person's free of his desires, he's more independent. When a person's stooped in his desires, he's enslaved. That's why it says, the altikra charut, that's engraved, the lukos were engraved, ele cherus, freedom was written on the lukot. Because ein lecha ben chorim, you don't have a free person, ele misha, osip atamot Torah, someone who's learning Torah, because he's free of his yetzahara. So it's a servitude or to the physical, or it's a freedom, right? And that freedom is a fun process. Torah Shashua. So the learning, the dibu, a person can have a lot of fun through dibu, right? Through learning Torah, you're having fun. You can be serious, but you have a fun. You understand what I'm saying? There's something interesting you're doing. You don't understand this, you understand that. You're interacting with it. And so that interaction through dibu, you learn with Chavrusa, he says something, it's a stupid pshat, that doesn't make sense. You're having fun, but you're learning Torah. Right? And they said, no, my pshat's a better pshat, and you're laughing at each other, but you're having fun. And you're getting through the MS. Speech, the word, we explained this before. The word is mila. Mila means to cut something. It means to take your thought and to cut it, to formulate it. So it's mitzamtim it, it's contracts it. Right? But once the word goes out, it's not connected to you. You can't bring it back. It went out. If you chas v'shalom, a person says something bad to someone, it's there. It takes a lot more to correct that. It's out. You understand? So in that sense, speech doesn't have any. It's completely independent. Once your speech is out, it's completely independent of you.
But the way it's created is.
There's two aspects of ruach. When a person uses his dibur, right, to connect with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he becomes independent. He's connecting. The dibur is a lashon of connection. So the Gemara says, like the Gemara says in Ksuvos, it says, right? It says, so the Gemara Ksuvos says, the Mishnah, it says, Ru'a'ua midaberet imechad. We saw her speaking with someone. And the Gemara says, what does it mean, midaberet? Right? It means that something happened between them. Lashon of dibu is lashon of connection. That's why we have the Asara Ma'amarot, the 10 statements through which the world was created, right? And then you have Asarta Dibrot. You asked me that question, if I remember. The 10 Dibrot. Dibrot is when a Kodesh Baruch Hu connects to the world. A Memra is something that just is a statement of this is the world. A Dibu is a connection with someone. You understand?
Memra is the old.
The Rashi brings this, right? That a mirror is associated with women because it's a loshen, it's a softer loshen, and dibu is a loshen kasha. It's associated with men, right? So, the female concept of a mirror, female concept, a mirror means to express. That's what a female represents. A female represents expression. A mirror is the world comes to expression. That's why it's asara ma'amarot. There's 10. Mirrors of the world. The world, Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, was expressed in the world. Dibrot is a notion of Zachar. A Kodesh Baruch Hu diber. He spoke to us with 10 commandments, right? Asara Dibrot. He connected to the Jewish people and to the world with the 10 commandments. So now there's a connection. Now there's a complete hashkacha. There's a complete connection to the world. Now there's Torah in the world. His rotzen is in the world. Now you can connect to them through the Dibrot. From the Divrei Torah. That's what it's called, Divrei Torah. The words of Torah, because it's a Sarah Dibrot. Right? There's a famous Sfas Emes that says that the Asara Makot, the 10 plagues, changed the Asara Dibrot, the 10, Asara Ma'amarot, the 10 the 10 Imrot, the 10 ways of God expressed Himself in the world, and changed into Asara Dibrot. The 10 commandments. What does that mean? The 10 plagues represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu's connecting with the world. Right? So not only did HaKadosh Baruch Hu was expressed in the world, there's an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, now, right, now there's a hashgacha. There's an individual hashkacha to an individual people in the world. Now that's an individual hashkacha, those ma'amarot, which is a general hashkacha, which is a general expression of God in the world, now became a specific dibur to a person, a specific connection to a nation, and through that nation to the world. The others, right, says Bekel Shakai, they worked against the Teva in the world. The Teva of the world was Hest upon him. Kodesh Baruch Hu wasn't in the world. They brought the Kodesh Baruch Hu into the world, right? But Keneged HaTeva, against the Teva. The world was a world of Avodah Zarah. The world was a world of non-recognition of Kodesh Baruch Hu. After the Asara Makot, the whole world heard of what happened in Mitzrayim. The whole world heard Kriyas Yam Suf, right? The world now came to Havaya. Havaya means, right, a being of the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. The Loshon Havaya, we see in the Gemara, in Kedushin, in Gittin, says, Makish Havaya liYitzia. You make a connection between Havaya and Yitzia. Havaya represents Kedushin. Kedushin means connection. The time of that Kedushin, or the Chuppah of the world, of the Kodesh Baruch Hu to the world, was Matan Torah. That was a connection to the world. The 10 Makas, when you learn the parasha, 10 Makas came to destroy Paro and Kriyas Yam Suf, the final destruction, right? That final destruction was the destruction of the Ra in the world, i.e. the Teva of the world. The world was now Tachat, was now under the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the world saw that, i.e. the Ra in the world was Itma'et, became lower. The others fought against the Ra, fought against the Teva. Once you had the Asara Makas, the world was removed a very high, removed the level of Ra, and there was more Hashkacha of Kodesh Baruch Hu in the world. There was a Mishkan. Kodesh Baruch Hu was in the world, he was dwelling with the people. He represented that Hashkacha, the world understood it, the world saw it. Yeah, there's Midrashim that when there's Kriyas Yam Suf, all the waters all over the world split, right? Someone told me even that in China, there's like a something written there. I don't know about the Kriyas Yam Suf and about Matan Torah. No, that's true, that someone told me. But the way Chazal see it is the world knew about these things. It came to the world. And you think about all the religions of the world. The two main religions in the world, Islam and Christianity, they all accept Matan Torah. Matan Torah was something that was an expression of God in the world. They don't negate it. They just have, each one has their own way of saying, well, we're the new Jews. What does independence have to do with connection? A child in the womb of his mother is not independent. A child cannot have connection except to his mother. He can't connect to another child. Only when the child leaves the womb of his mother and he becomes an independent individual can he have connection. Connection means that you, as an individual, connect to someone else. That means when Klal Yisrael got to the level of Matan Torah, they could now connect. We were in Egypt, we were in our mother's womb. We came out of the womb, we had 49 days to perfect ourselves, right? We were ketanim, we were children. The children can't connect, right? A child can't connect. That's why a child can't do kiddushin. The kiddushin of a child is not a kiddushin of a boy, right? The kiddushin of a child is not a kiddushin. Only when he becomes bar mitzvah does a kiddushin become kiddushin. Why? He becomes an ish, he becomes an independent person. Matan Torah made the Jewish people into an ish. Now it's shaykh to connection. The same day that we became this ish, now we can connect to our Creator. That's why only at Bar Mitzvah, boy has, right, a Yetzer Tov. Only when you have a Yetzer Tov can you fight the Yetzer Ra. When you're a cotton, you're in a certain sense onus. Your Yetzer Ra is so strong in you that the things you do, you're not responsible for. Only when you have a higher level of persona, a higher level of self, do you become an individual in person. And now, connection means, what does connection mean? Or I connect, or I can disconnect. That means you have the free will, you have the ability to connect or disconnect. So independence implies the ability to connect. An independent person, someone who has the ability to connect or disconnect, he has independence. If you don't have independence, you're still in a womb. Whatever level of womb it is, you're not independent, so you can't connect. If you look through Chazal, there's really three stages. There's the stage of when you're born in the womb, right? You're still a cotton. Cotton means you're not chayav in mitzvahs. You don't have that level of free will because you're still nishlat through your yetzahara, right? And only when you come bar mitzvah, the yetzah tov fully comes into you, right? But still at bar mitzvah, you're only chayav, right? Misas based in. You're only responsible here. Misa b'nei shamayim, from heavens, you're not going to be chayav till you're 20. Because when you're 20, you have a full cognitive self that you're responsible fully for your actions. Right? So you have three stages. You have completely dependent before birth, right? And you're getting out of that dependence till you become a bar mitzvah. And then when you're bar mitzvah, you have the beginning of independence, but you're still growing of that independence until you get to the stage where you become completely independent when you're 20, and now you're ready for connection. So you must be asking kasha. The Mishnah says, Shmona esrei l'chupa, 18 for chupa. It doesn't say esrim l'chupa. So that's a kasha a little bit. You should, in theory, chupa should be when you get that independence. But my guess is that before you become too independent, you have to take an all on you. Because when you're too independent, it's harder to take an all. But I don't know. It's a good question. I have to think about that one. So the fourth element is Eish. Eish means fire. Says Reb Chaim Vital, the bad aspect of Eish is gaiva, arrogance, and kaas, and anger. Right? Now, when we spoke about anger, I'm not going to go into it again. We spoke about two types of anger. Anger that comes from Eish. Eish means control and power. That's the anger that comes from Eish. There's anger, which we said, that comes from Mayim, which is feeling, sensitivity, that you're hurt. Remember? Pachas Kamayim is a form of anger, but when you're hurt...
That's women anger.
Yeah, women anger, that's male anger. Yeah, that's what we said when we spoke about anger. Okay? I'm not going to do that again. The good part of anger, right, is what? Humility, right? And the concept of gaiva is also, that's humility. And anger, right, means the rotzen to control others, the desire to control others. So the good aspect of kaas is control over self. And the concept of gaiva is control, right, is humility, nullification of self. It doesn't mean nullification of self, you're nothing. It means nullification of self to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's humility. I realizing that your abilities come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not realizing who you are. Okay? So, Eish, in the Glazer's concept, represents power, which is obvious, right? Power, like that's what Eish is. Eish is the thing that gives an engine the strength to move. Everything which has koach comes from Eish. Eish, which is power, the sun, right? It's a form of Eish. It has fire, right? Everything which moves in this world is some sort of combustion of Eish, right? That's koach, that's the power behind it, right? So Eish represents this koach of power, this power over others, which would be kaas, and this power over self, which is a tikkun of kaas, control of self. Because when a person gets angry, there's no control of himself. Control over self and empowering others is against controlling others. People who control others, right, are very high in Eish, the bad part of Eish. People who are not interested in controlling others, right, and also you see Eish makes everything else into Eish. Takes a table, burns it, makes it into Eish. Disintegrates it. right? It becomes alpha, becomes nothing, disintegrated. Aish makes everything else into Aish. So a person who's high in power only sees himself. Everything is himself. That's why he's controlling. My will is the will. I'm controlling everyone else. What I say has to be done. That's power. Power over others. But proper Aish, the good part of Aish, right, which is humility, and which is control over self, right, that isn't a consuming Aish. That's not an Aish which consumes others, but it's an Aish which empowers others. And when you empower others, that's the best way of propagating yourself. The best way of propagating oneself is through teaching, empowering others with ideas, empowering others. That's a form of Aish. A teacher is a form of empowering. When you empower a person with an idea, you've effectively, the idea that you're thinking now becomes an idea that they have. You've empowered them. Part of you is by them. You've made, that's what it means. The Loshen for Hora'ah, the Loshen for teaching is Herayon. That means you impregnated someone with an aspect of yourself. Now that Herayon is going to be opened down in the person. So that's a much higher level of empowering and making someone like you, like your Talmidim are like you. Your students are like you. You didn't do that by controlling them. You did that by explaining to them, through teaching them, through empowering them. That's a much higher level of Aish. Because the level of Aish of controlling, well, that control's gone. They'll go back to who they are. They didn't change anything internally in them. You with me? So Aish does mean to convert everything else into Aish. But it means there's one way of doing it. Through empowering, through teaching. Another way is through controlling, which is the bad aspect of Aish. Torah is Aish. Aish, Shchora al gabe Aish Levana. Black fire on top of white fire, right? So like you said, Torah is teachings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is empowering us with Torah. He's impregnating us with His Ratzon. That means we are now expressing that Ratzon. We become Tzelem Elokim. We're Dom Elo. We're similar to Him. We now become those people which is expressing Him in the world. That's an empowering of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why it says, when Klal Yisrael does an Aveira, right? We're machish palmal yishamala. We weaken HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiviyochol, and when we do His will, we strengthen Him, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more in the world. He's more connected. He's more empowering in the world. When we're doing chas v'shalom averes, we're machlish to strengthen the world. He's rotten in the world, right? So that's why dafka Torah has to be Aish, because Aish is that empowering. Torah is also mayim, right? But like you said, Mayim is a different concept of connection with Torah. Mayim is the feeling, the emotional connection, right? So, but there's both aspects of Torah. Okay? That's why when Aish and Mayim get together, is Shamayim. Because when you're connected on the level that you're expressing His will, you're mu'ubah from Him. You were created through Him. Right, you represent Him in the world, and yet you have a tremendous desire to connect with Him. That means there's two things happening: the aspect of being empowered and wanting to know more, empowering, no more, empowering, no more. That's Shamayim. That's a complete connection. That means a person, when you're learning Torah, you have to have both aspects. You have to have Aish Umayim in your learning of Torah. There's two aspects. Now, empowering, right, when you empower something, means an idea that's by you, and now you're bringing that idea into you and becomes part of you, and you empower through the idea, right? But what makes the idea a bigger idea? When you take it to you, and now you in the desire that you have for that idea will kindle in you the desire to understand it and to fit it here and to express it and to work it out in a different way. So in a certain sense, it's not completely true, but in a certain sense, knowledge of something, which is Chochmah, is connected Eish, and Mayim, which is desire for it and the use of it, the creativity with it, that's connected Bina, that's the intuitive, the imaginative, creative, right? And when you have both forms, you have Shamayim. Says the Arizal and the Rambam, when a person, those two things, his Chochma and Bina, right? Both aspects are fully connected, past the Memele Yetzara. He doesn't have any more Yetzara. He's in Shamayim. He's mentally or in the spiritual worlds, and he's not in the physical world. He has no desires for things which don't make sense, because his Chochma is completely connected to his imagination. Okay? That's why you will notice as the world goes more towards desires, the wisdom is one thing and the desires are another. They're disconnected. And therefore, the wisdom cannot become spiritual. There won't be a spiritual desire. It won't be something that he wants to express in the world. It'll be just a wisdom and a desire, two disconnected. That's not Shamayim. That's the opposite of Shamayim. Eish and Mayim come together, Shamayim. When they're not together, that's not Shamayim. That's what it says. Eish of Gehinnom and Mayim of Gehinnom, the Kerach, the core of Gehinnom. Okay, the coldness of Gehinnom. It's a feeling of disconnected.